The Spirit of God tells us in the fourth chapter of Ephesians of the ascension gifts of Christ to His church. Gifts given to His church by the ascended Savior. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Apostles, of course, being those men selected of God, succeeding the prophetic office, identifying Christ as the true Messiah with spiritual gifts limited to that age, spiritual gifts of understanding, of healing, miraculous powers, speaking in tongues and so on. Those gifts ended with the apostles. And then he gave some prophets. Prophets. But there are no prophetic offices in the church. Well, that's referring to Old Testament prophets. No, these are ascension gifts of Christ. Prophets. Prophets are men gifted of God with distinct abilities and distinct understanding in the time in which they live and the necessary message. They're men God raises up to be voices for His church and voices to guide and strengthen and help preachers along the way. I'm confident that's the case. Brother Henry Mahan, familiar to all of us, in his day, in our day, God raised him up just in a distinct way. And then they're pastors, teachers, not pastors and teachers, pastors slash teachers. And these pastors are the teachers in the assembly where God has put them. Other men serve under them. Other men serve with them. But the man responsible for the teaching in every local church is that man God has set over the church, his pastor. And then God gave evangelist. Today we think about evangelists as fellows who go from church to church, don't have any responsibility, and they have half a dozen sermons, they preach them around the country, and they go back and prepare half a dozen more, and preach those around the country and collect offerings and whoopee. No, those are just users. Let it sink in. I said the word with just utter contempt. That's not an evangelist. That's an evangelist. Evangelist in the New Testament sense of the word is missionary. Man who is gifted of God, uniquely gifted of God, to go about establishing gospel churches and establishing pastors in those churches, leading them, training them, guiding them. That's an evangelist. Of all the gifts, none more demanding on the man than that work of the evangelist, the missionary. For him, he abandons family and life where he is and goes somewhere else. And he spends his life in places other men wouldn't want to live. And usually is sort of isolated from others and not well-known, not properly respected. In God's church, let us make known to such men our love and appreciation for them and our support for them. Brother Cody Groover has been serving with his father and mother and his wife in Merida, Mexico. How many years now, Brother Cody? 21 years. Can't be that long. And I know a good bit about the whole thing, but he had a good job. I mean a good job. He got paid for not going to work. only time he had to go in when they had trouble. I didn't text him, man, he'd play golf with us and go out and eat. I've got to go in for a few minutes. That's a good job. And he took his wife and family down there, and how God has blessed the work. Yes. We're thank God for you and thankful for you being here. He's going to come and bring the message.
Good morning. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, to the book of 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Pastor, for having me speak at this conference. It's a real joy and a real privilege to be here with you this morning. The Apostle Paul, let me just talk to you about this for a moment. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. And these are believers. The Lord had raised up a church. And believers, just like you and I, who trust in the Lord this morning, we've been given a new nature. But we still have that old Adamic nature. And we're still in the flesh. We still sometimes behave in ways that is very fleshly. And these believers at Corinth, they were dividing over men, over preachers. Some said, I'm of Apollos. Some said, I'm of Paul. Some said, I'm of Cephas. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the church and said, Christ is not divided. I didn't come preaching myself, and I didn't baptize anybody in my name. You didn't believe because you believed because Paul preached to you. You didn't believe because Apollos. You didn't grow because Apollos preached to you. You believed and you grew because of God are you in Christ Jesus. The Lord sent me to preach the gospel. Look here in verse, I'm jumping over and I want to get straight to my message. For Christ, verse 17 says, sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. This is our charge. This is what the Lord sent His church to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the good tidings. Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the gospel. There is no other gospel. But my text is found here in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now this is where I'm going to stay. First, I want us to consider this word. The word preaching is word. The word of the cross. Stop and think for a moment. What a blessing that God would speak. What a blessing. How could you know God? How could you know God? God dwells in light which no man can approach into. God is holy. How could you know God? God is spirit. How could you know God? You can't even know what's going in the mind of the person sitting next to you. How could you know God except God speak? God speak. What a blessing that God would speak. God could not be known except that He has revealed Himself in His Word. And this Word says the Word of the cross. The Word of the cross. It is the Word. This is the second thing I want us to consider. This Word is the Word of the cross. It's the Word from eternity. It's the Word from eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It's the Word of God from eternity. This is the Word. In other words, this Word, it did not have its beginning in time. This is the purpose of God. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Before there was ever a sinner. He's the Lamb slain. And if a lamb is slain, it's slain to put away sin. Is that not so? He put away the sin of His people and His purpose, and His decree and His purpose before there was ever a sinner. When he put his people in Christ, and Christ became the surety, and Christ became the substitute, God put away the sin of his people. Now that's just too much for me to be able to understand and much less to explain, but this is what the Word says. Listen, it's not only the Word of God in eternity, it's the Word of God in the beginning of creation. Man was created, and it wasn't long, man rebelled against God, sinned. And the first word, the word of promise, is the word that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. It's the very first promise of the Redeemer. It's the word from the beginning of time. It is the word throughout all time. In the Old Testament, figures and types were given, the word of God was given to the nation of Israel. But that's the only word from God. The nations, the heathen nations, were left in their idolatry. Without God, without hope in this world. And it's the same message until the end of time. The Lord said, this gospel will be preached in all the world. Then comes the end. It's the same message till the end of time. In other words, this message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The third thing I want us to consider in this passage is the word of the cross is a singular word or singular message. It is the only message.
Yes.
It is the only message spoken by God. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We have no other message. There's not many messages. There's not many different ways. That's the inventions of men. They say, well, you know, it doesn't matter how, just as long as you're sincere. That's not it. There's only one name given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way that God may be just and the justifier of the ungodly. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. It's the same. The singular message. It's the same message to Jew and to Greek. It's the same message to learned and unlearned. It's the same message here in the United States as it is in Mexico and to the furthest part of the world. It's the same gospel, the same message. Now, what is the content? Those first things I said was that it is the Word. How blessed we are. It's the Word of God from eternity, from all time. And it is a singular message. But what is the message of the cross? What is the content? What is God saying? When He hung His darling Son on the cross, what is God saying? Well, now if you don't hear anything else, hear this. Here's what God is saying. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Behold. Fix your eye on Him. And there's no way we can exhaust all there is to be said and all that is said by this message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But I want to point out a few things. First, this is what we see at the cross. God is holy.
Yes.
God is holy. God is God alone. There is no other God. There is no competition for supremacy. He is the only God. Lord said this, to whom will you liken me? Who are you going to make me equal to? Who are you going to compare me to? There's none other. No one else. There's none like me, says the Lord. I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times of things that are not done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do my will. He's the only sovereign, only potentate. Did I say that right in English? He's the king. There can be no rebellion in his dominion. He is alone. That word holy only God is holy. Only God is holy. There's none other. Satan, Lucifer, said this, I'll be like the Most High. No, you won't. No, you won't. He fell from his former habitation and was reserved in chains of darkness to the day of judgment. There's none like God. Adam, when Adam was created, he was created in the likeness of God. As a man, you would want him to represent you. Of all men, if there was somebody that you'd want to represent, that would be Adam. He was created in perfect holiness. But Adam sinned. You were represented by Adam. Thank God you were represented by Adam, because Christ is the surety for his people. He put all his people in subjection and rebellion in Adam, that he might have mercy on all his people in Christ. But there could be no rebellion to his dominion. Adam, Satan came and said, God knows you're not going to die. He said, when you eat this fruit, you're going to be like God. You're going to know the good and evil. You're going to be like God. And that's what man thinks he is today. He thinks he's like God. He thinks God is like him. Therefore, he's God. You think that I'm like you, said the Lord. There's none like God. There's none like him. Sin, in its essence, is rebellion against God's holy will, God's revealed will. Sin, in essence, is rebellion against God's will. And the fool, the scriptures say, the fool has said, no, God. That is a fool to say no, God. No to God. Listen, this is a great, great mystery, but when the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, was made sin for us, he who knew no sin, he was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When he was made sin for us, God condemned sin in the flesh of his darling Son, the Lord. The sin of his people. The sin of his people, God condemned in the flesh of his darling Son. Why? The law couldn't save us. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son, the Word, was made flesh. The Creator of all things, equal with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. That is, the law that demands our death had to be fulfilled. And we have to have obedience to that law. Perfect obedience. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. His perfect obedience. I said the essence of sin is rebellion against God's will. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he came into the world, he said, lo, it is written of me in the book, and the volume of the book is written, I come to do thy will. He always did that which pleased the Father. He is the Holy One. And it's by his obedience, by his perfect obedience, he always believed God. As we heard last night, it's the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ that saves his people. We believe in Christ in order to be saved by the faith of Jesus Christ and not by the works. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. That rebellion, that sin, all the sin of his people, God made him to be sin. And in his flesh, condemned sin. Put away the sin of his people. Boy, that is what a word. What a word of the cross is there. Your sins are gone. He put away the sin of his people. God is holy. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was crying in agony on the cross, he said, "Why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He trusted God. Never, ever doubted. Never, ever had a doubt. And he said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You know what the answer is? It's found in the next verse. "Thou art holy. Thou art holy." We see the holiness of God. God is holy and God will punish sin. God will punish it. We see the word of the cross speaks of the necessity of the atonement. The necessity. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, it is so necessary. Even so, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should have everlasting life." Man, as I said, we are sinners. Sinners by birth, by practice, by choice. God's chosen people in Christ are born into this world dead in trespasses and sin. Dead to God. Do not know God. Cannot know God. Do not want to come to God. I don't think that we're inactive, though. Don't think that man by nature is born in sin, is inactive. He walks. He walks in this disobedience. Man cannot atone for his sins. Man cannot put away his sins. What is a man going to give exchange for his soul? If he gave the world, he'd lose his soul. Man cannot atone for his sins. God is just and must punish sin wherever it is found. But bless God, Romans 3:21, if you will turn with me there, says that the Lord Jesus Christ, in this word of the cross, is the righteousness of God revealed. But now the righteousness of God without the law, that is, without you having to do the law because you can't do it. Christ did it. He's the only one. But this is manifested. This is what God is saying right now to every one of us. It's manifested being witnessed by the law and the prophets. It was testified in the Old Testament that Christ would fulfill righteousness and put away the sins of his people. It's witnessed in the Old Testament and in the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And that righteousness of God is unto all, it says. You believe the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason you believe is because God chose you. The reason you believe is because the Holy Spirit regenerated you. The Holy Spirit was, the love of God was shed abroad in your heart. A new creation. And that righteousness, that holy nature. Well, we look inside and that's the wrong place to look. But we look inside and that's all we see is sin.
Yeah.
And that's right. Because in this flesh dwells no good thing. No good thing. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. being justified freely by His grace through the redemption, the word on the cross, the necessity of the atonement, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare God's righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, God's justice, that He might be the just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. The necessity of atonement. Without the shedding of blood. Remember I said at the beginning that God's people, this is a message from eternity, but it had to come to pass. It had to come. Christ had to come into this world and actually establish righteousness. I didn't start this thing. He had to come into this world and establish righteousness, because without righteousness, without justice, without obedience to God, perfect obedience, none will be before God. No man, no flesh. Now the word of the cross also reveals the wisdom of God. All the wisdom of God. God shows in His wisdom that He found a way. He found a way in where He might be just and the justifier of all those that are found in Christ Jesus, that one that hung on the cross. His law is established by His obedience. His righteousness, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God." And the only way you're going to come to God is if you're just as righteous, just as holy, just as just. The justice of God. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. We see, number four, the love of God. The love of God. God so loved the world. You know what that means. It means those that He loved. It means those that He loved. He said, "Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated." It's a blasphemy to the character of God to say that God loved every man, woman, child that has ever existed in this world. If God loved everyone, and is evident by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, that hell is a real place. We know hell is a real place. Torment is a real place. If God loved everybody and some are in hell, what good is the love of God? But listen, all that God loved, He saves.
Yes.
And He's going to take him to Him, to be with Him. But listen, the emphasis here is this. The emphasis is God so loved. This is showing the love of God. He so loved His people in Christ Jesus that He gave His Son to be made sin, to die on the cross. God commended His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. For the ungodly. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We see number five, the merciful God. God is merciful. God has not dealt with you. You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know God hasn't dealt with you according to your sins. We know that God has not dealt with us according to our sins this morning. What are the wages of sin? Death. Not just a little death. Eternal separation from God. But God put all the sins of His people. He was made sin, the Lord Jesus Christ. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. He left the angels without a representative, without a redeemer. He has left multitudes of this world in the darkness of their idolatry, their own thoughts and imaginations about who God is. But oh, how merciful He is to His people. We see the grace of God. What would cause God? Do you see the grace of God? What would cause God to give His darling Son? Nothing's found in us. Nothing's found in this world. But in His own heart, in His own purpose, His own grace. And it was given to us before the foundation of the world. Oh, the grace of God. The message of the cross is this. Look and live. Look and live. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is not hanging on the cross anymore. He died, but He made satisfaction.
Yes.
Is that not the message of the cross? He was taken down and buried 3 days and three nights. And on the third day, He arose victorious. Why? Because God is satisfied.
Yes.
He's put away the sins of His people. They're no more. The Holy Spirit gives witness. I'll remember their sins no more. I like to think I have a good memory. But I know God has the infinite memory. But He says, I'll remember their sins no more. Why? They're gone. They're gone. He is risen. He is risen. Now, two things briefly. This is the message. Like I said, we can go and on and on. The word of the cross. To you that believe, oh, what a sweet word. What a sweet word. It's the only word. How foolish the person who rejects the word of the cross. How foolish. It says in our text, foolishness to them that perish. You're rejecting the only hope, the only means. How foolish the person that says, no, God. No, God. This message is considered foolishness to those that do not believe because they're still believing the lie. They're still believing the lie. I'm like God. I'm like God. False religion, that's what they teach people. You're like God. You see, anytime a person makes deals, I heard, brother, the only way you're going to worship a God is if God is shown to be sovereign. You're in His hand and you're not doing a deal. This is the reason they reject the message, because they believe they're like God. They still believe the lie. They say, I'm not that bad. I'll make my own way. I'll make my own way. I do not need the blood of the Lamb. I'm not that bad off. But God says, behold the Lamb of God. There's no other way. There is no other salvation. But to you that believe, the word of the cross, that's the word of your salvation. That's what it says in Ephesians 1:13. We heard this last night. In whom ye also, after that you heard, you were put in Christ in eternity. You were put in Christ in eternity. But then the gospel came. This word of the cross came one day, crossing your path. And the Holy Spirit. You know, we use this term. It resonates with me. It resonates with me. You know why God's people receive God's word? Because the Holy Spirit creates a new life. Creates a new life. The Apostle John said, you have an unction from the Spirit. What is that? Christ in you. The Holy Spirit. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. But the Holy Spirit gives testimony. This is the word. This is the truth. And you believe. You don't believe in order to be born. This is something mysterious, miraculous. that is done by God the Holy Spirit. Yes. Through the preaching of the Word, not apart from it. But the preacher doesn't get the glory and the person sitting down doesn't get the glory.
Yes.
They're just as surprised as anybody else. I believe. I didn't before, but I know I believe now. I can't do anything about that. I didn't decide to believe. I just believe.
Yeah. Right.
After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, this word of the cross, the gospel of you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. This message is to you the power of God. To as many as received Him, received this message, He gave the power to become the sons of God. Ah, brother, it doesn't now appear what we're going to be, but we are the sons of God. I heard last night, and I was just so happy to hear it. Because you're sons, He sent His Spirit.
Yeah.
Religion's got that all backwards. Don't you give thanks to God for His Word. To you that believe, it's the power of God, the wisdom of God. May the Lord bless His Word.
Say right here.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. I said what I did introducing Brother Cody because I want you to have high esteem for God's servants and particularly missionaries. You young men who think about preaching and pastoring and older men who are still thinking about it. You think, well, I've got to take care of my family. How do I take care of family? Family got to come first. No. You know, we serve God with our lives, with our families, making everything subservient to the will and cause of our Redeemer. And I'll tell you what I have never observed. I'm 66 years old. I've been preaching the gospel of God's grace for nearly 50 years. I have never observed any man give himself to the cause of Christ and his family suffer for it.
That's right.
I've never seen it happen. I've just never seen it happen. The cause of our Redeemer deserves everything. Brother Cody, how long has your dad been in Mexico?
1964.
That's a long time ago.
52 years.
52 years. How many churches have you been down there?
10.
Over the years, how many?
Over the years, 10.
Got churches, preacher school, and God has used them remarkably. He's used them remarkably. His children are all here. Not all of them, but two older girls. And y'all were just kids when you went down there, weren't you? Just kids. So I'll tell you, they're a little older than they want you to know. And Brother Eric is Desta's son. Where's Jimmy? Jimmy over there. If you haven't met Walter Gruber, if you meet him, that's Walter, just a little younger. he told me last night, I said, Walter, like you, he's lived in assisted living all his life. And he was third generation. Now, you stop and think about what I just told you. Serve Christ with everything. As third generation gospel servants in his household. You got big shoes to fill, buddy. And he fills them well. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to him. Thank you, brother.